the bread representative of Christ in resurrection. The loaves being made of fine flour speak of the death and resurrection of Christ as being necessary before he could become the wholesome bread of which the soul could partake. Meaning of fine flour. The fine flour speaks of evenness of character, the smoothness of his spirit, the grace of his doing. The flour had been broken, crushed, reduced to smoothness, showing Christ in his obedience to the Father, his perfect smoothness and absolute balance in character. He could open his generous heart to feed the multitudes until they were all satisfied. The moment they have enough, he gathers up the fragments. It shows his perfect economy, balancing his perfect generosity. We do not find him so just that he forgets to be merciful and gracious. It is the smoothness of the wheat. The corn of wheat. The corn of wheat fell into the ground and died. John 12:24. When Jesus said this, he was answering the Greeks who were opening up to him the possibilities of an enlarged ministry. He saw that it was only service in the natural, and he turned from the temptation. He knew that if he did not go down in death, his work, would abide alone, but death would scatter it. The corn of wheat falls and is covered, hidden, misunderstood, misjudged. Wheat that never falls into the ground has a very limited service. The wheat must permit God to cover it, hide it. It often, perhaps, must permit folks to walk over it. Footsteps will be heard overhead. The toiler, busy doing things, will be walking over you. He will wonder how you can stand it to lie there molding and rotting away. But you keep on staying there, and you feel that something is taking place. There is a change. Then God lets the Sun of Righteousness, Malachi 4:2, shine upon your soul. The rain and the dew from heaven come down. When the wheat was laid to rest in the earth, it was a perfect grain of wheat. As it lies, it loses that perfect form responding to the elements, sun, rain, dew, wind, the Spirit, and it shoots up, clothing the earth with greenness and beauty. It is refreshing to the people, blessing them under the spontaneous outflow of the Spirit. People look upon the field with commendation, but that is not the end. All the intensity of the summer sun is necessary to bring the wheat to its ripeness. Just as the wheat is wondering about the end, along comes the farmer with his sickle and cuts it down, and then follows something still more drastic. The thrusting of the sickle into our lives is suggestive of his gathering out some of the elements that he thinks might be desirable. Let him work in your life with the sickle and flail. The choice wheat is laid out in a clean place, not in a dirty barnyard. Then follows the action of the flail. With this, connect the last cup, the cup of suffering. You only know the joy, the essence of the cup, when you know the suffering and the stroke of the flail. If you know the stroke of the flail upon the choice wheat and you get thirsty, he will hold out the cup to you. The husks and the chaff have to be taken off. This had served as protection for the time being. It has served its purpose and is now outgrown. At a certain stage in the process, God says that we have now outgrown the husks, and he flails them off. It is the beating off of legitimate things, not bad things, which for the time served. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Isaiah 28, verses 28 and 29. The destiny of this wheat is bread. It is ground down. Bread corn is bruised. That is, the Christ on Calvary being bruised for many. You cannot get the bread corn until it is bruised. Christ is the bread of God. We, following in the lines of the Lord, must be bruised. Kneading and baking. Then comes the kneading, the pressure of the Spirit and the mighty hand of God pushing us down. We are apt to puff up and think we are somebody and can do something. Baking and a hot oven are ahead. Through kneading, he brings us to a place of consistency. He does not dry us out. He bakes us in a hot oven. Sometimes we ask for a cooler fire. If he turns down the fire, we will be like Ephraim, just half-baked. Neither food for hungry folks, nor any good for batter. He bakes us to a good brown, luscious color, and we become a blessing. After the loaves are put out, they are covered with frankincense. This speaks of the pure laid down life. Till we all come speaks of a process. We are complete in Jesus, but there is a working out until we come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. Back of the loaf is the snowy flour, and back of the flour is the mill, and back of the mill is the wheat and the shower, and the Son and the Father's will. We do not always know everything about the milling process in other folks' lives. It is not always God's good pleasure to let us hear the stones grind. We see the results, and we sense that there is some process of making the flour. There must be a mill in every life. In some, the milling process may have taken place years before, and we hear only a haunting echo of it. But it is there just the same. There is no mill, shower, wheat, ripening sun, or flail, except by the Father's will. Romans 8:28. The golden candlestick. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. Exodus 25:31. All natural light was excluded in the tabernacle. The ministry there proceeds under the light of the golden candlestick. Exodus 25:31-39. In our spiritual ministry, we are not to minister in the light of our natural reasoning. We are to serve and minister under the inspiration of the Spirit. God giveth the light, and we walk in it. Even so now, the things of God can only be known by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10-14. The golden candlestick was made of one solid piece of gold, beaten into form by repeated blows of the hammer. No measure is given of it. It stood on the south, or the left side. It is one solid piece of gold, but is only serviceable as a candlestick as it is beaten into shape. The workman over it has control, and he sees the vision of what is possible. He has a perfect right to beat it as much as necessary. We are his workmanship, and we have to subject ourselves to being hammered, suffering agony and intense pain. It is under the authority and jurisdiction of one who has vision and power to execute, if the gold will stay in his hands. None of the arms were attached artificially, but each was beaten out. Light precedes, and our love to God depends upon our light and our attitude toward it. We cannot love unless we are in the light, and it is the light of God that prompts us to love. The golden candlestick is a type of Christ as the light of the world, and then it speaks of us as the lights in the world. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world," Matthew 5:14, which speaks of the unity between us and Christ. There were little cups upon each branch. These branches were beaten from the shaft. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches," John 15:5. These grow out of the vine and are part of it. It speaks a peculiar identity. Out of the loins comes the life. God gave Jacob the promise about children out of his loins. Eve was taken from Adam's side. The middle branch represented Christ as being exalted above his brethren. This beaten-out gold represents Christ on Calvary. The church comes as a consequence of his death. Jesus in the bosom of the Father is the same Jesus, but it takes the suffering of earth to bring forth his people. If we are associated with him in the deepest of fellowship, we will know suffering. It is our food. Christ was not a man of great joy and exuberance. The most striking and wonderful picture is that he is a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. For him to know the possibilities in himself and yet to suffer, this is the mystery. It was for the joy that was set before him, not the joy he had. Hebrews 12:2. We want to reverse the order, have all the joy now, get away from the suffering of being beaten out, and ignore paying the price. This is the place of intense suffering with possibilities of marvelous illumination. The Lord is trying to release us, and we will not let him. God is seeking to deliver us, but we do not like the delivering process. He seeks to free us from being a lump of gold. The beating out brings out the branches. He does not put oil cups on top of a piece of gold. Our privilege and duty of shining with him, 1 Corinthians 12:12, John 8:12, John 9:5, John 12:35-36, Matthew 5:14, Ephesians 1:22-23, Ephesians 5:8-14. The church has her birthplace at Pentecost. The almond branch, and 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side, 3 bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. Exodus 25:32-34. The almond branch is always a type of the resurrection. Exodus 37:17. It is the first tree to give any evidence of life in the springtime. Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed was an almond branch, a dry, dead stick. When it lay before the ark, there were life and strength enough to cause it to bear fruit. Aaron trimmed these little lights with the use of the tongs and the snuffers. This was as essential as pouring in the oil. In spite of all the oil that might be put in, when the wicks were not trimmed, the lights failed. Do not keep asking for more of his Spirit if the wick in your lamp is not perfectly adjusted. Perhaps he needs to walk in our midst with tongs and snuffers, but we need not be afraid, for he is exquisitely tender. Application to us. We pray about being in such need, such confusion, such pressure, but we refuse to let the Lord snip off the charred pieces. Revelation 1:12. In this picture, we have not the one candlestick, but the many representing the churches, and Christ was walking among them to see if they were giving light properly. But if not, he says, he will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2:5. When such a thing happens, he has to put someone else there to do it. But the specific thing he has called each one of us to do can never be done exactly by anyone else, just as we would do it. Let us yield and get our own personal feelings out of the way. We have nothing to do but let God pound us. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It is our resistance that makes it hard. He will let you sail along for weeks without a bit of trouble, till one day you face that thing. Do not hope against hope when it is not God. That is not the right basis. It brings defeat and disaster. It is a false hope. It cannot be settled any other way than God's way. Let God use the tongs and the snuffers. The wind and sun will not blow away or dry up the wick. Aaron had to use the instruments especially adapted for the purpose of snipping off. Then he poured in fresh oil. If that is done in our lives, then there is a fresh manifestation of life. There may be several lights going at the same time, but if one is out of order, then attention is needed. He keeps bringing us right back again. God is so persistent. If we will come through, he will give us the joy. Do not presume upon his grace and hope against hope, Proverbs 14:12. It may seem the logical thing to do, but it is the way of death and destruction. Get on the right basis and then build up all the hope you want, and hope will get its vision realized. God is calling for your weakness. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. When we offer him our strength, he has no use for it. But he can do something lovely in us if we yield to him what seems the most ugly and crooked, and acknowledge it to him. Let those roots come up to the surface, then he can work. Give him all of it. Do not try to get a camouflage victory. Be real with the Lord. The shining light. The path of life's way may be narrow. The true things are hidden by the shadows. The flowers by the path will fade away like the dreams we have day by day. There is a bright light shining, leading through the pathway winding. Each step that we take is one that is right, led through the shadows by the shining light. All shadows in grief will disappear as we walk along and do not fear. Looking unto the light, shadows fade away. The real hidden things are here to stay. Imaginations of the heart must be captive too. They bring the shadows, not the true. Leaving them with the faded flowers, let's walk softly with the hidden power. W. O. Elmore.